haven't met yet, I'm Pastor Glenn, and of course Pastor Teresa and myself and our family and a bunch of us all went on a conference last week over at the Ninth Island, Las Vegas, right? But not we went to Las Vegas not for the reason you think we're going to go to Vegas, but like I said, we attended a conference of 17,000 people. Woo! And we got to spend some time with some of our mentors over there on the mainland, and as I was kind of walking around, you know how I normally do my morning walk before the service, I was just kind of reflecting on all the people that said yes to Jesus that Sunday morning, actually last week Sunday. It was incredible, a whole flood of people coming down and receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, amen. So we got to witness that. And so forgive me, I'm still kind of, my brain is kind of on vacation mode, I'm going to be honest with you still. But just kind of having fun and going through the series once again, Soul Shift. How many of you guys are receiving from this series? You guys are receiving a lot? Yeah, because when we review this series, we thought it was just an incredible series. It did wonderful things for not only ourselves, but for our congregation as well. So, you know, it's great to have feedback. Thank you so much for that, because it is designed to challenge us. Can I get an amen? And I mean, every message that we do and we say and comes from the Lord, of course, but every series that we focus on is designed to challenge all of us, wherever we are on our walk with Christ. And it is really designed for us to level up. Everybody say level up. To whatever the next level the Lord wants to take us. Can I get an amen? And so we don't want to be complacent. Turn to a neighbor and say, if you're complacent, you're wrong. Because the Lord loves us enough to every now and then make us uncomfortable, yeah? And so as we kind of go through the series, right, we kind of reflect, and we at least it, you ought to reflect on a lot of different things and cause you to be uncomfortable a little bit, and, you know, it allows you or it causes you to want to make some changes. Everybody say changes. And so I want to share with you just a real quick acronym. Everybody say ACT.
A-C-T.
Spells ACT. Right? ACT. So when we go through these series, or whatever message that you may hear, whatever, you know, the Word of God tells you, A stands for apply. Everybody say apply.
Apply.
What are you going to apply in your life when you hear the Word of God, when you go through these series? What are you going to apply? Maybe there's something in your life that, you know, you've heard before. Maybe there's something you've never heard before, and you're like, okay, I like what the pastor said, and I'm going to apply that to my life. And C, I'm going to make changes. Everybody say changes.
Changes.
What am I going to do to change my life? You know? Sometimes it's a easy question to ask yourself. Sometimes it's a difficult question to ask yourself, because a lot of people don't like to change. I myself, I'm noticing, and I'm being honest, that as I'm getting older, I don't like to change. I'm stuck in my ways, and you know, oftentimes the Holy Spirit speaks to me and urges me on to change. But strangely enough, the Holy Spirit sounds a lot like my wife. You know, so they have the same voice for some reason, right? I don't know. I don't get it. Okay, whatever. But yeah, you know, so I have to change. There's a lot of changes that we all have to make. Amen. And of course, T stands for teach. What are you going to teach? A stands for apply. C stands for what are you going to change? And then T stands for what are you going to now teach to somebody? So now you notice that progression, right? There is a progression where you look at yourself, notice some things you need to change, and now you're going to go teach it to somebody else. So which segues nicely into the message that we're going to be talking about this morning, because we're going to go from sheep to shepherd. And thank you, Julie, for picking up my little lamb over here. I feel good when my little lamb is right over here. Pastor Lori from Wahiawa gave me that as a gift for my birthday this past year, so I bring her wherever I go. I just forgot to bring her on my trip, but anyway. But we're gonna go from sheep to shepherd. Everybody say sheep to shepherd. Okay, so now I don't know how you feel about that, okay? Because we're leveling up, Okay? We're taking our Christian life, we're taking our Christian walk to the next level. Now I'm going to have to shepherd somebody? Oh, yeah. Okay, stop. It's time to stop thinking about ourselves and be selfish focused, right? And start putting our eyes on other people. And that's what Jesus teaches us through the Word, and that's what He exemplified for us. And if that makes you uncomfortable, good. Okay, because now you're getting ready for your next glory. Amen. The Word of God does tell us that He takes us from glory to glory to glory, or from degree to degree to degree. Amen. And that's where we need to be in order to make an impact for God's glory on earth. Amen. So real quick, I don't know if I'm going to do this, but I like to do the reviews, right? You guys remember week one? We talked about how our soul is where the Lord wants to meet you. So we have that connection with God. As God transforms us, we shift from our flesh to His spirit. You remember that? And then we allow God to make the seven shifts within you. So we're going to be talking about that as we go along. We actually have one more message next week. Week two, it was entitled Me to You, where it says, I need to decrease so that God can increase. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Maybe if you look in the mirror, sometimes there's too much you in this situation and not enough God, right? When you're looking for perspective, you're seeking perspective from God, and too many of your thoughts are just kind of running around in your head when we just kind of just keep silent and listen for the Word of God. Number two, we connect to the source of love, so we have to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we love one another, right? So we see the great commandment there in play. Week three, slave to child, having a, how many of you guys remember what Grant, don't answer. How many of you guys remember what DTR stands for? I'll go with Julie. Defining the relationship, absolutely. Right? And we can apply this, right? There's that word again. Apply. We can apply this in any aspect of our life. But we have to define the relationship. And of course, we have to define the relationship with God. Who is He in our lives? Right? And by default, as we define who God is, we begin to understand who we are. Amen? So we relinquish slavery and receive sonship or daughtership. Now, I don't want to confuse what Paul the Apostle said when he said, if you got to be a slave to somebody, be a slave to God, right? Because he called himself a slave or a bond servant of Christ. Do you remember that? Okay, in that sense, it's a good thing. But we relinquish slavery and receive sonship and daughtership. Now, that is a whole new perspective, which allows us to live differently, to live a certain way. Now we become royalty if we are the son or the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So don't act like a child. Instead, become a child of God. Hallelujah. Week four, we talked about engaging in the unseen world. Now we have to believe that there is a dark side to the spiritual world, right? I mean, we're in October right now. You see all the signs going on all over my neighborhood. I see all these, you know, all the decorations, all the Halloween decorations going up and all that kind of stuff. So there seems to be like a celebration of, you know, Halloween. I mean, why would you want to celebrate Halloween? And, you know, we don't have to go into the history or the, you know, of how Halloween came about. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's not exactly a positive thing. I'll just say that much. We won't get into that. Okay, pagan worship and all this kind of stuff. But that's the origin of Halloween. But yet today, it seems to be watered down. People don't care about it, right? All of a sudden, it's for the kids. You guys hear that every year, right? Halloween, it's for the kids, right? So we can give them candy, right? But the origin of Halloween, the evil behind that, okay, we won't get into that. But if we believe in that, at the same time, we have to believe that there is a light side to the spiritual world. Yes? And then number three, we have to grow in our experience of the unseen. Because the Word of God tells us that we walk by faith and not by our eyeballs. Remember we talked about that? Not by sight. But instead, we walk by in the book of Ephesians, where it says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Mean our heart has eyeballs? No, but we see with our heart. Amen. Week five, we talked about consumer to steward, shifting from security and riches to security in Christ, where sometimes people find their identity, and this is where it can get dangerous, where we find our identity by the number of things we have. We find our identity in the kind of homes we have, the kind of cars we drive, the kind of jobs or careers we have, and we begin to identify ourselves with those types of things, right? I'm not saying those things are bad, but there's a lot more to life than all that stuff, right? How many of you guys are aware that there is a tiny home movement that is going on today? We see this shift. We see this trend. So I don't know if you kind of, you know, driving around, especially here on the North Shore, a lot of people are living in yurts, right? I mean, it's going on. A lot of people are shifting from the nice fancy homes into a more simpler way of living. And I'm just, you know, Teresa and I are fascinated by this kind of stuff. It's a study in anthropology. It's a study in culture where we see that shift happening, where people are minimalizing their things. They're getting rid of material things and really realizing that that's not what brings us happiness. And in a way, yeah, I do have to agree. Yeah? But anyway, shifting from man's economy to God's economy. What does that mean? It says that if you want to be first, you got to be last. If you want to receive, you have to give. Yeah? And then number three is shift by testing God. How many of you guys have started that? Yeah. In the area of tithing. Malachi 3, it says, "Try me, test me." That's God speaking, right? And my brother Carl, he said, right? The windows of heaven, the floodgates of heaven. Now imagine that. As we honor God with the first fruits of our increase, God opening up the floodgates of heaven and every blessing and outpouring of resources and love and the peace, anything that you can imagine, anything good that comes from heaven will pour out onto you and your household. When I learned that word, Teresa and I, we grabbed a hold of that. And we said, "We want that, Lord." And we said, "I'm going to test you, Lord." And that was one of the first times I ever argued with God. Yeah, it was an enlightening experience, right? Because I was always taught, you know, growing up Catholic, that if you're going to argue with God, you're going to fight with God, he's going to strike you down with lightning bolts and all that kind of stuff, right? Remember I told you the story about if I ever defied God, God was going to come down from heaven and he was going to cut my tongue out of my mouth, you know? That was my mom growing up in a Filipino house. Right? So I was afraid of God. But when the Word of God tells me to test him, I tried it. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word," right? And all of a sudden, all of these outpouring of blessings began happening in our lives. Amen? And the same for you. Week number six. Hearing God's voice is not something that you do, it's something you are. This is the one with Pastor Mark, right? Pastor Mark Palumpo last week. Jesus is gone. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the Word of God tells us that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, who is the physical manifestation of who God is not here with us. However, we have the Holy Spirit. So his presence is here with us. Amen. Number three, desire God's voice more than anything else. Now, I had this one young lady come up to me and said, "Pastor Glenn, how do you hear the voice of God?" Now, that is a legitimate question. Can I get an amen? How many of you guys have ever asked yourself that question? How do we really hear the voice of God? Right? Some people have claimed to hear the voice very audibly, and I'm not denying that. I believe God can speak to you however God wants to speak to you. You know, if people out there have had that Moses burning bush moment, where you hear the voice audibly, hey, I believe God can do that. But oftentimes, you know, it's a almost as a whisper, because the Word of God in Chronicles, I believe, it says, it's almost as a whisper that the Holy Spirit comes to you, whispers to you, but it just something just resonates in your heart. And you just know that it came from somewhere, it came from heaven. Amen. And by faith, you walk in it, right? But we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. In the book of John, specifically, we're going to be talking about that this morning, which leads us to today, sheep to shepherd. Everybody say sheep to shepherd. When we go from being just a follower of Christ, and I want to say just because all of us are followers of Christ, amen? And I do believe that we go through different phases or different seasons in our walk with Christ where we will continue to be a sheep, because ultimately Jesus is the good shepherd, amen? But at the same time, we are called to shepherd people as well. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be, you know, go out and become just an amazing evangelist like Billy Graham, or maybe a teacher like a Joyce Meyer, or anybody like that, or a pastor like Stephen Furtick, or anybody like that. Okay, but you know, you do have a circle of influence. Everybody say, everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you have a circle of influence. Right? Because some of you, I know, some of you are like, I don't see myself as a leader, Pastor Glenn. I don't see myself as a pastor. You are. You are. And when I first learned this, I realized that my first flock was my wife and my four kids at the time. Yeah. I was like, oh boy, really me as a shepherd? I don't see myself as a shepherd. I'm content just being in the congregation, content just being a part of the church, content with following Pastor Mike, because Pastor Mike is a wonderful man of God. I'm content just sitting there and just serving. Well, that's nice, right? But then again, God doesn't want you to be comfortable and complacent. Yeah? So sheep to shepherd, everybody, get ready for your next level. Amen? So we're going to begin in the book of Mark, chapter 1. I want to start there. So starting with Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says, later on, after John was arrested. Now, this is John the Baptist. You guys remember the story of John the Baptist, who announced the coming of Jesus. Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news, the gospel. Verse 15, the time promised by God has come at last, he announced. So we know that Jesus, his main mission is to build the kingdom here on earth. But because Jesus was a physical man, he was the manifestation of God, God allows us basically to participate in building the kingdom. Can I get an amen? The kingdom of God is near, so repent. And I highlighted the word repent. Everybody say repent, which in the Greek is metanoia. Meta means to change. Noia is your mind, right? So metanoia, we're changing our mind. You see the shift right there, brothers and sisters? We shift from our sins. Now, everybody sins. But when we think about our lives, going back to reflecting on our lives, looking at ourselves in the mirror, we gotta figure out what are the things that keeps us separated from God. Because that's simply what sin is. It means missing the mark. You're missing the mark of the level that Jesus has set. Amen? So we miss the mark, we fall short of that, and then we got to figure out, okay, what are the things that maybe perhaps that are keeping me from my best, from walking into my destiny with Jesus, right? So it's keeping me away from intimacy with God, right? So we have to repent, we have to change our mind. Once we change our mind, we change our life, yeah? And so as we change our life becomes the testimony that will speak to other people. So repent of your sins and believe the good news. Believe the gospel. When we first heard the gospel, I was like, really? I thought it was just a nice story. I remember driving in Kalihi. Maybe I told this story, but you know, I was driving in Kalihi when I was young. And there's that church over there, just right after Fort Shafter. It said, Jesus coming soon. You guys remember that? Yeah, growing up in Hawaii? Jesus coming soon. I don't know if it's still there. Maybe it's the same church, I don't know. But I saw Jesus coming soon. Now, I'm a good Catholic boy. I asked my mom, you know, I went to Catholic church and all that kind of stuff. And I asked my mom, I said, Mom, look, Jesus coming soon, yay! Because in my mind, I thought Jesus was like Elvis. I thought he was like a celebrity. I thought he was like Don Ho or somebody like that when I was growing up. I was like, Mom, look, Jesus is coming. Can we go? Can we go? I thought it was like a concert or something like that. Yeah, for real. And then I was like, oh. And then my mom was like, no go. She was all like that. Later on, I realized, you know, my mom was like against all that kind of stuff because it was not a Catholic church. It was a different denomination, okay? We wouldn't have to get into that. But I don't know. You know, she just couldn't explain it to me. I never understood. It wasn't until later on when I became a born-again believer that I understood what that sign meant. Amen? Okay, so don't think less of my mom. Okay, anyway. The kingdom of God is near, so we have to change the way we think. You know, where our mind goes, our heart will follow, right? And believe the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me. There's the shift, yeah? You guys see the shift. Come follow me. You're hunky-dory. You're going through the motions. You know, you're doing your career. You're working your job. You're living your life Monday through Friday. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Now, this is huge. By this time, Jesus was building up a reputation. That there's a lot of wonderful things, wonderful signs and wonders that was surrounding this man. Because for people to leave their livelihood, I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. If they don't fish, they don't eat. They don't eat, right? They don't earn money. They can't provide for their families. So this was a big, big, big decision. Jesus is that big of a deal that they were willing to leave their comforts behind, leaving their livelihood, so on and so forth, right? But Jesus said, come follow me. Now, how many of you have ever heard that voice? Follow me. Did that scare you? Did that freak you out a little bit? It ought to, right? Isaiah 16, and I want to bring this up, because when Jesus says, come follow me, that's Jesus fulfilling a prophecy. Wow. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I get excited about prophecies being fulfilled. Keep in mind that Isaiah the prophet spoke this 700 years before Jesus was even born. He said, but now I am sending for many fishermen. Who will catch them, says the Lord? But now I am sending for many fishermen. Who will catch them? Catch who? Catch other people. But the reason why I bring this up, brothers and sisters, because have you ever realized that you and I are now fishermen and women? And we are part of that. We are part of the prophecy that Isaiah spoke of. Now, Jesus walked the earth over 2,000 years ago. Isaiah spoke this 700 years before Jesus. So about 2,700 years ago, this prophecy was spoken. And you and I are living it right now. Pause for effect. Wait for it. Wow. Disciple, one who follows another for the purpose of learning. Okay, so becoming a Christ follower, come follow me. When Jesus said, Glenn, you're making a mess of your life, come follow me. Glenn, you are a lousy husband, come follow me. Glenn, you are a lousy father, come follow me. I said, okay, Jesus, yeah, I got nothing else to lose. Right? I'm going to go see if I can level up and improve myself, right? And so I began learning. I began studying. I began reading the Bible. I began seeking the Word of God. I'm not perfect at it. I continue to walk in faith, right? Continue to follow Jesus for the purpose of learning how to be the best version of me. Can I get an amen? So that way I can be effective and I can make an impact for the glory of God as we represent Jesus. We become ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Going back to the passage, actually this is John 1, starting with verse 35. Now we're going to kind of switch channels a little bit, different scenes. Verse 35 says, the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. This is John the Beloved, different John. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. Now here we see the theme of sheep. Yeah, and keep in mind that it was the language of that time. That they were very, their livestock. You know, you would see sheep bah, bah, roaming around everywhere. That was their livelihood. Verse 37, when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. There it is again. That's the shift. They followed Jesus. So number one, you can write in your notes, every good shepherd needs a flock. Every good shepherd needs a flock. Now some of you guys are thinking, Pastor Glenn, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a leader, I'm not a ministry leader, I'm nothing right now. I just want to learn, I want to study. I'm happy, I'm content where I am. I get that, okay? But prepare. Prepare that you will influence people, because I believe that everyone influences people to varying degrees. I don't care if you're a supervisor at work, you're a manager at work, you're a manager at McDonald's, right? You're a teacher in a school system somehow, some way. But you know what I realized? Like I said, brothers and sisters, I was a husband. That was my first flock. My four kids were my first flock. So I said, then my mindset shifted. I said, Pastor Mike, leave me alone, because Pastor Mike wanted us to be, the praise and worship leaders at the time. I said, Pastor Mike, leave me alone. My flock is my family. Leave me alone. Let me focus on my family. Right? I can't handle anything more. Right? That was me. I was whining back then. But I knew that God gave me my wife and that God gave me my kids. So I said, okay, Glenn, I got to shape up. I got to make some changes. And I have to be the best husband, the best father, the best leader that I can be for my family. And I was very happy with that. I was very content with that. But Pastor Mike, the good shepherd that he is, he looked at me, he looked at Teresa, and he said, well, if the way you guys are shepherding your four children, you kind of just translate that into a ministry. Would you like to be in charge of the praise and worship ministry? Right? And that's when Pastor Mike kind of like did a 180 and he left. And so Teresa and I found ourselves in charge of the praise and worship ministry at that time. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to run it. I knew how to play music, sure. Teresa was a singer, sure. But we just began loving the members of the team at that time as best as we knew how. And you know what happened, brothers and sisters? The praise and worship ministry team grew. It did. At one point, I think we were pushing like 40, 50, 50 members. Or something like that. We would rotate musicians, we would have singers, we would have choir members. It was a lot of fun, let me tell you. It was hard work, it was busy work. So that became the beginnings of our first flock. Now think about you. Some of you guys are parents. You have little lambs at home, yeah? Some of you guys are managers at work. Some of you guys are not necessarily managers at work, but you still have an influence, because leadership is not a position. Can I get an amen? I don't care if you have supervisor or managing manager of the managing management, Doesn't matter. Bobby over here, I think you said you were number three in all of the state, right, in his federal fire department. I mean, he's high ranking, but you would never guess. Bobby Chandler. You know why? Because he is one of the biggest servers I have ever seen. Going back to the economy of God, Bobby Chandler over there, I mean, he has such a huge influence over the federal firefighters and more, right? But because he is one of the biggest servers I have ever seen. Amazing. He understands the economy of God, amen? But everybody needs a flock. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a flock. You do. So stop saying, well, I'm just by myself, or I'm single, or this and that, this and that. You have an influence, amen? Going back to the passage, verse 38, Jesus looked around and saw them following. They all shifted. What do you want? Right, Jesus saying, what do you want? He asked them, and they replied, Rabbi. Now this is important, and I hope you guys see this. What are they doing when the disciples are calling Jesus Rabbi? In essence, what they are doing, brothers and sisters, is they are defining the relationship. Can I get an amen? They're calling him Rabbi. They're calling him teacher. So what are they saying? There is a lot that I can learn from you, Jesus. Here I am to learn. I am following you. That's what they're saying. So by default, they're saying, okay, I'm your disciple. We don't have to label anything. I'm just defining the relationship, right? Rabbi, where are you staying? Verse 39, come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. How about the rest of their life? Yeah? Verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. Again, defining the relationship. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. He is Christos, the anointed one, his anointing. He is the Savior, the Messiah. Right? Verse 42, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter, or rock, or stone. Amen. And this is when Jesus said, you know, upon this rock I will build my church. It was upon that man. So anyway, the significance of that is number one, you have a flock. Number two, you name your flock. Naming your flock. Now, why is naming your flock important? Again, it just helps us to define the relationship. It helps us to understand, you know, who we are connected to, who we are influencing, who we are influenced by. You guys ever been in a coaching relationship or a mentor or mentee relationship? One of the things that I love to share is when Teresa and I, when we first got born again, you know, she would tell me, I don't care what you do, Glenn Rosario, you ain't walking this alone. Number one, you read your Bible. Number two, you find somebody to get submitted to. I'm like, yes, ma'am. And then she said, then I can follow you. And I thought about that. I'm like, you're absolutely right, sweetheart. You know, and that's when I began looking at Pastor Mike as my personal mentor, you know, at the time. And so I'm always on the lookout for somebody that I can lean on, somebody that I can process with. Amen. Sometimes you're at home and your thoughts are just going crazy. And, you know, I share all the time about Isaiah, you know, 55, where God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But sometimes I get stuck in my thoughts and I just start to spin and spin and spin. And then Teresa goes, why don't you go call so-and-so? You know, stop talking to me. And we're arguing about all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, sweetheart. And every time I go up to my mentor and just kind of just share with him what I'm processing and he comes back and he responds to me, I feel so much better. I really do. You know, so it's important to find somebody in life that is ahead of you, somebody that has the right root of the foundation in Christ, and then they have the fruit in life that you like, that appeals to you, that shares your same values. Can I get an amen? And that's what naming the flock does, is knowing who you have an influence by. And when you have an influence, can I emphasize, brothers and sisters, that it is a responsibility? It really is. You know, so when Teresa and I, when we found ourselves in this position, we realized, gosh, you know, we cannot take this thing lightly. There is a weightiness to this. There is a responsibility that we have to live up to.
Yeah?
So think about your children. Think about your coworkers. Think about your boss. Maybe your boss is a bozo. I hate to use that word, but, you know, and then maybe your assignment is to help your boss out. Okay? I mean, I've been in those kind of situations before. Yeah? Let's jump over to John 10. John 10, where it says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees." Who are the Pharisees? They think they're better than everybody else. These are the high maka-maka guys. They look down on people, right? "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, for anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." Now think about that. If you are the shepherd, if you are the chief influencer, you have nothing to hide. You have nothing to be sneaky about. Yeah? You can just come and go as you please, because the people that you're caring for, the people that you're nurturing, all know who you are because of the significant impact that you made in your life. "For the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. For when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Right? What I love about, and I've learned, brothers and sisters, I've learned to embrace this, and I've just kind of been reflecting on this, is every time I see people change, I see people transform. Can I just share that it's a Holy Spirit addiction? Does anybody resonate with that? You know, it's just like you just have a little piece of that, right? Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Coming up to somebody, just patting them on the back and say, "Hey, great to see you. Good morning, man." You know, those types of things. Offering them some coffee, maybe offering them some pastries. Thank you, everybody, for doing that this morning, right? Because it's a wonderful place to gather over there and kind of chit-chat and get to know each other. But, you know, it's just those little things. It's just little things. Just encouragement goes a long way, right? And then you begin to see people making changes in their life, and just to know that, yeah, you know, I just had a little piece of that. Thank you, Lord, for using me to do those kinds of things, right? Can I just say again that it's like a Holy Spirit addiction for me, right? And I'm sure you understand, because if you're the kind of person that maybe you got off of an addiction, maybe it was drugs, and then you're reaching out to somebody, and then now you're beginning to see they're making, you know, changes in their life, and they're going to get off drugs, right? Or you're seeing somebody that maybe does not have hope, but then you have hope, so you give them hope, and all of a sudden you see the light come in their eyes. Amen? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes, absolutely. And it's just like, we know that transformed lives transform other people. We know that hopeful lives give away hope. We know that faithful lives strengthen the faith of other people, right? I love that. That's what keeps us going. Because for between Teresa and myself, we probably quit ministry 2,596 times. But it's these changes that we see happen before our eyes, these miracles, signs, and wonders, as the Lord taught us that he has a lot more for us. Instead of being a sheep, become a shepherd. Amen. And I believe so it is with you. So get ready for your next level. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door.'" Everybody stop there. What is the door? The door is a gateway. It's a portal, right? I love one of my favorite passages says, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Chris Massad wrote a beautiful song, "The Way, the Truth, and the Life." Jesus is the way. To what? A whole new life that you haven't even imagined. 8, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers." He's talking about the Pharisees. "But the sheep did not hear them. For I am the door," Jesus is saying. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." What is pasture? A place where God comes and refreshes your soul. a place where you can relax, a place where you can find peace, a place where you can eat, you can sleep at your leisure. You can come and go as you please without any stresses in your life, without any worrying in your life. Amen. That's what a pastor says to me. Verse 10, for the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? Fantastic, doesn't it? And in John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. How many of you know Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. He certainly knows you. Amen. Amen. So let's go tell the world that we know him. Hallelujah. Number three, go ahead and write in your notes, every good shepherd nurtures the flock. For Jesus indeed is the good shepherd, but as Jesus Christ who is in you and I, the hope of glory, doesn't it make sense that we become shepherds as well? Nurtures the flock. And I want to end with this, John 21. Because maybe some of you, I certainly saw myself in this, as Peter. Now you guys remember the story when Peter denied Jesus three times? How many of you have had that experience? When maybe you hear the voice of God and you're like, no, I don't want to do that. All right? No. Right? Or, I don't know. You know this, of course, that one story that's told where communist China, they have all these underground churches going on, right? Because they're outlawed in China. And there's one story where this one Christian went into China. He had a gun, started busting open the doors and said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And then he would see the people that would deny yes or no, right? And so he went into this one room. They were hiding, of course. They were having a Bible study at the time. And he says, are you a Christian? He held him at gunpoint. And then I don't know if it was a male or a female. I believe it was a female. She said, yes, I'm a Christian. Very well, knowing that if she admitted to being a follower of Jesus Christ, they were going to shoot her, right? But then suddenly the gunman said, good, now I can worship with you, and puts the gun down. Amazing, right? And of course, I thought to myself, if I was ever caught in that situation, what would I do? What would you do? I'd like to say, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm bulletproof, you know, whatever it is. But until that actually happens, we'll never know. Yeah? But this story, John 21, we see how Peter denied Jesus three times. And I love Jesus. Jesus is very spunky. Jesus threw it back in his face. Yeah? Because he wanted to recommission. He wanted to recommission Peter. He says, brother, you need to level up. I'm going to take you to the next level. Stop wallowing in your complacency. That's what he was saying, basically. Come follow me. So verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than who? Maybe other disciples, you know, other teachers. Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs. That's one. Jesus told him. Verse 16, Jesus repeated the question again. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. Are you deaf or what? Yeah? Think about it. Are you deaf? You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. That's number two. Jesus said a third time. Now you can hear the irritation, right? I mean, you can probably see smoke coming out of Peter's ears and his eyes getting all stink eye and all that kind of stuff. Do you love me? Peter was hurt. The Word of God tells us that he was hurt. Why? Because he knew that probably Jesus didn't believe him. You know, sometimes my son, my five-year-old, he's like, Dad, we're going to go to the swimming pool today, Dad, right? Yes, Emmett, we're going to go to the swimming pool. And then maybe like 30 seconds later, Dad, we're going to go to the swimming pool, right? Yes, Emmett, we're going to go to the swimming pool. You deaf ear or what? Okay. 5 minutes later, Dad, we're going to go to the swimming pool, right? And by that time, I am so irritated already, right? I got to remove myself. I go to the bedroom. I lock the door. I just, right? So I can imagine that's how Peter is feeling. But again, you know, Jesus shoved it in his face. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Feed them. Now, what does that look like? Reaching out to people, giving them an encouraging word, showing them, you know, a smile, giving them a hug, inviting them in, giving them something to drink, something to eat. Nothing fancy, right? But just being able to relate to people, because transformed lives transform other lives. That is the power that has been given to us, brothers and sisters. Our own life becomes the power for the world. Amen? Where your testimonies become, or your tests become the testimonies for the whole entire world to see. Your messy life becomes now the message for the world to see. Hallelujah. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Now catch this. Catch this. I tell you the truth. When you were young, we were selfish. We can do whatever we want. But when we are old, we will stretch out our hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. You know what Jesus is talking about? He's talking about our own self-crucifixion. That's what he's talking about. So I said, okay, give me something here, Lord. I mean, we're not asking people to go out there and nail themselves on the cross, are we? No, we're not. But verse 19, Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death we would glorify God. Now, brothers and sisters, catch this. There is a death to yourself, where your life now is not yours. Where your life now does not belong to you. And you crucify yourself with God, not in place of Jesus, because Jesus did it one and done, okay? But as we take our life and we say, Lord, take my life for your glory, there is a dying to ourself. There is a dying to our flesh. And that's where we shift from our fleshly desires to the spiritual glory that is given to God but also awaits us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, follow him. Ooh. Now we know that that's not easy to do, so we walk by faith. Amen. Amen. So to review, as I bring up Pastor Teresa up here, week 7, sheep to shepherd, number 1, we talked about we need a flock. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to look around. Open your eyes once again, to take your eyes off of yourself, put them on other people, and realize that you have an influence. I'm pretty certain you're going to go to work tomorrow, Monday morning, you're going to go to work, and then you're going to look at your coworkers. You're going to be like, oh, that person needs Jesus. That person needs Jesus. You need Jesus. Right? I did that. She does that. Right?
I'd do that to him. You need to be with Jesus.
But every person needs a flock. Hallelujah. And then you name your flock. You define the relationship. You know who you are. Jesus has called you by name. He has a specific purpose for you. Amen. And then you begin to nurture people. You begin to care for people. And of course, my prayer is that God continues to increase us as we begin to continue to break our hearts for the people that hurt in this world. Amen. Amen.